Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
A minus.
Well, you're strict.
A minus is a good grade, though.
That's a good grade. A good grade. I'm impressed. I like your thinking about this. Like, you're not just going A plus.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined by Jonathan Watkins from CinemaSins.
Hello, hello.
We are joined with a special guest today.
Very special guest.
By a special guest. It is Jonathan's daughter, Mackenzie.
Say hello.
Hello.
Hello. We'll be doing a mini pod.
Icy pod?
That works for me.
Yeah.
Of Frozen 2.
So we've got the source that we've got the 8-year-old mindset in here.
We do. Frozen 2 has been out for a little while. It's one of those quote unquote record setting.
Yeah, it's doing well.
It was the fifth highest November of all time. All that, it's set to do, you know, it's going to be okay. Disney's going to be okay.
Yeah,
guys.
I think so. It was the highest animated opening in November, I believe.
Yeah, highest animated
opening.
It
beat Incredibles, yeah. Actually. And then, I actually had that written down. It's done $370 million so far. That's worldwide.
That's worldwide.
$143 million domestic. And as we're recording, it's been open a week, I believe.
Yes.
Was it last Wednesday was when it...
Yes.
Or Thursday or whatever it was.
It was one of those days.
Yeah, so it's been open right out a week.
So, right off the bat, Mackenzie, you're a very big fan of Frozen, right? You love Frozen?
Yeah.
What about this movie?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
that was really outstanding. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, you're really so you liked it. You liked it less, right? Or I mean, I don't want to like lead what you say. You say whatever you want. Did you like it? How did you like it compared to the first one?
Well, I think the first one was probably more like. I think the second one was more like sad, and like the first one was more not like happy.
So the first one was happier than this one?
Yeah.
I think that's probably fair.
Yeah, I would say yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I get what you're saying there. So, so I guess like, what were there things in this? Well, we don't want to get into spoilers yet. I think this is pretty much going to be a spoiler podcast. I think we should probably say that off the bat.
Yeah, yeah. Spoiler. I mean, if you are tuning into a mini pod about Frozen 2, and you just like hearing us talk, and you know, you don't care about spoilers, this whole episode is going to be spoilers. So
yeah, pretty much. I mean, I guess do we want to go ahead and do our grades and stuff?
Yeah, we can do that. I mean,
so Mackenzie, so what was your general consensus of the film? Did you like, dislike, and what's your overall grade?
A B.
Yeah, so you liked it but you didn't love it.
No.
Is that the best way to put it?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think you'd give the first one? Just out of curiosity. I know we haven't watched that one in a while, but we've watched it many times.
A minus.
Well, you're strict.
A minus is a good grade, though.
That's a good grade. A good grade. I'm impressed. I like your thinking about this. Like, you're not just going A plus.
Yeah.
Every movie's an A plus. All right, cool. So you're going to give it a B.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds good. I think I'm at a B too, actually.
You're a B?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely didn't. I do like the first one quite a bit. I've seen it more times than I've seen it. I don't think I ever need to see it again. But I've always been a fan. The music's really good in the first one. I think that's the main reason
mm-hmm.
that became such a phenomenon. I think it was just the Let It Go number alone, but just there's a lot of songs in that first one that to this day, I mean, we go to Disney World twice, two or three times a year, And they have a Frozen sing-along that is always packed. And, you know, you've got, you know, 300 people just at the blasting out the songs, mm-hmm. you know, left and right. So it's just, it's crazy how popular that the music is. But I do like the first one for the most part. I liked the first one a lot better than this one, but I still thought there was enough. I thought there was enough here to qualify this as like a good movie. It's a slight recommend. I might be closer to a B minus, but I'm pretty comfortable with a B.
So. Okay. I am surprised that I'm around you guys. I'm straight up B minus on this one.
Oh, okay, cool.
This movie is actually got some interesting, it's an interesting way they go about this because, and we'll get into spoilers here in a minute, this movie is interesting how it's told. But I felt like everything was too easy for the protagonists in this.
I agree. I think a positive for this is that, and I've heard a lot of people say this, and I think I've heard a lot of people overpraise it because of this, but I do like that it doesn't really rest on the laurels of the first one. Like it does feel like it's trying something different.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just like, oh, here's the hits from the first one. Let's show those here in a mm-hmm. different way. It's not like Anchorman 2 or whatever, you know. But at the same time, I don't know if I found the story. I mean, they do things here like, I don't think this is a spoiler, like there's not much of a villain mm-hmm. presence in this one as there is in the first one. So they kind of get away from, I guess, the princess fairy tale Disney norm.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not necessarily saying that I wanted them just to do that again, but I did think. I don't know. It felt like they hadn't thought it through completely. Like it felt like almost like half of a story sometimes.
Felt like that way to me too.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and get into spoilers.
Sounds
on
good.
This.
No spoilers.
The most basic is Kaiser Soze.
Luke's what? Father is actually Darth Vader. She's the sister and the daughter. They just
No. I'm reading the books.
I'm gonna say my piece and then I'm gonna let you two take over here. Yeah, there's no villain except for one that was in the past.
Yes.
It starts off with Elsa and Anna's parents telling them the story. And I guess they think it's just a fairy tale or something. It's not a real, they don't think it's real.
Yeah.
And this story ends up coming back to be, it's a real story. It's affecting them today. The first thing that I thought was weird about this movie was that this whatever it is, this curse or whatever it is that mm-hmm. caused the flooding and all of that. Why now?
Yeah, I know.
why after all these years are we finally saying this matters?
Yeah.
And it's this story about, people coming in and taking advantage of indigenous peoples. And stuff like that. That's the main thrust of it.
Very much so.
But this was all in the past. Mm-hmm. They don't know it. They go through all the stuff. They go to this mystical island and they see that the mist that came in and blocked everybody mm-hmm. off that has been keeping people like alive in the same age for years.
Yeah.
And so they find out that, that their great grandfather, or I don't remember if it's their great grandfather or if it was,
I think it was just their grandfather. Yeah, okay. I think it was their dad's dad. So,
and they find out that their grandfather like took advantage of them, built a dam that basically ruined their village.
Yeah, they made it seem like it was a peace offering or whatever. It was like, this is something we're going to do for you, and it was actually more beneficial to Arendelle, mm-hmm. and it was not beneficial at all to the forest and the residents.
Yeah. So by the end of this, just skipping through a whole bunch of stuff here so that you guys can talk.
No, you're fine.
Elsa and Anna end up getting split up at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I was tired or what. I didn't understand how one went all the way across an ocean to someplace.
Yeah.
And then she got like, I think is it Elsa that pushes Anna away on a boat?
Yeah, pushes Anna and Olaf, both of them on a boat.
On a boat, and she ends up in a cave.
Yeah.
And then like that cave ends up connecting to some place that Elsa ended up.
Yeah,
I didn't get that.
Yeah, no, I didn't either. That was part of my problem with this was I found the whole forest thing to be a little confusing.
Yeah, maybe it was because it's in the self-contained world. Yeah. I don't know, but like I didn't understand that, and I was like, didn't she get pushed away from her, and then she went across an ocean, and then now she's in this cave?
Yeah, I mean, I got the impression that Elsa was. Mackenzie, do you remember this part where Elsa pushes them in the boat?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I thought, and maybe you can back me up on this, I thought that Elsa intended for her just to go back to where like Kristoff and stuff were. And then doesn't she grab a tree branch or something and she kind of redirects her boat?
Right. That's my problem with the geography of it doesn't make sense to me.
Oh, I gotcha.
Because Elsa ends up like doing that thing we saw in the trailer where she ices the ocean to go across it.
Yeah.
And somehow the cave and everything is like right where she ends.
Oh yeah, no, I got you. Yeah, it's like, and it's also kind of a cave of convenience because it ends up like really. I mean, it ends up kind of including Anna in the story, and she's actually able to help save. Like she's the one that figures out the dam, right? I think. Well, I guess Elsa does too. But
she gets frozen.
Yeah.
Frozen.
Yeah.
Investigating while Anna like figures out the, you know, so I don't know how she did it. There's like some hologramic video evidence. I don't know what the hell.
Well, that was the other thing that confused me. There were all these ice sculptures that would pop up and they would be randomly whoever they needed to know about at that moment in time.
Yeah, I like I said, this might be just one of these things where I was tired, I was distracted, I just didn't hear the details. Whatever, it didn't make sense to me.
Yeah,
none of that made any sense to me. The overall story of it, I was like, oh, okay. So then by the end of it, and this is my last thing I'm going to say, by the end of it, they're like, oh, well, as long as we're working together, we can do anything. And I was like, was that ever like a conflict?
Yeah, no.
There wasn't. It seems like movies are usually pretty good about setting up something where these sisters, they just don't get along. Well, here's something, you know, this is the conflict, and then it ends up they solve it together. But they're apart from each other.
Yeah, and they never really like they're never really like you're saying, there's never really a conflict between them. They don't have like a big fight or anything.
No.
At least nothing of consequence. I mean, she's irritated that Elsa won't let her stay with her, but that was, you know, they did that crap in the first one too.
Yeah.
So maybe that's something where they kind of, you know, just stayed the same route.
So those are my things. I will leave it now to you guys to talk about this movie.
I just want to know, Mackenzie, what specifically, like, what did you like about it?
The background music and the like songs in the movie.
You probably did like the songs?
Yeah.
Because that was another thing I was curious. Did you like the songs?
There was one song that Elsa sings like a third into the movie, maybe before they go on this adventure.
Yeah, is that the one they do over the credits with
I actually don't know what song they did like over the credits.
The let it go moment is I wrote that down too. What is that song called? Oh, it's called Into the Unknown. That might be the one you're talking
that's
about.
That's probably the closest
the
one gets to being the best. I mean, that's gotta be the best song.
Yeah.
Everything else seemed like they were just throwing a song in there because they want to have a song.
I did kind of enjoy, I don't disagree with that, but I did kind of enjoy Kristoff's just because it felt like an 80s power ballad. And like, that's clearly what they were going for. Cause like the way the music is and stuff and the way he sings it, like it's very much like something you could have pictured hearing like on a rock station in like 1987.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was really interesting.
I will say the Olaf going over the plot of the first Frozen was very entertaining.
Yes, that was very funny. And did you like outside of the music, did you liked Olaf too, right? Because you laughed a lot.
Yeah, I liked Olaf.
Did you like Olaf better this time than he was in Frozen, or about the same? Or?
Well, I think in Frozen 2, he's more, like, funny. Frozen 2.
I would agree with that.
And I think in Frozen 1, he was just kind of, just, like, talking, not being really funny.
Okay.
That's fair.
I think that's very fair. No, he's very funny. Did you like the whole part, which Chris was talking about, where he's going over the entire plot of the first Frozen movie? Like, what was one of your big Olaf moments? What was one of your favorite parts?
Of Frozen 2?
Yeah.
Well, I liked him, like, a lot of parts when he, like, came, like, fully, like, apart. And then he, like, got it together, and I thought that that was funny.
That was yeah, that was funny. That was a cool animation effect too. But you actually were telling me that. Oh, and I remember the part that you laughed at a lot. I remember was, and I thought this was really funny. Was it? I can't remember the name he said. Was it Samantha? He just came up with a name. Do you remember this at all?
Yeah.
Like, he's just, yeah, see, she's remembering. What was it?
He was, like, looking for people, and he just thought of, like, Samantha, and he was, like, screaming, Samantha!
And then he's like, he doesn't even know
yeah,
Samantha.
Yeah, he's like, I don't even know Samantha. Yeah.
He's like, I don't even know. He's like, Samantha, and I'm like, wait, I don't even know Samantha, and then he keeps screaming for Samantha.
One thing you told me, though, is you didn't like the way it looked as much, so why was that?
I just thought the characters looked weird, and especially Elsa's hairstyle. I didn't like it.
Okay. What about her hairstyle didn't you like?
It was in this
is the stuff you come here for, people.
Yes.
It was in this, like, side bun with, like, a braid, like, knotted into the bun. It, like, was, like, hanging off the side of her head, and I didn't like it.
Gotcha.
This is something that I would not have noticed, so I'm glad that we have her here.
It's like we got little Danae Hughes in the,
that's right.
In the studio.
That's right.
I will say, though, about the animation, one thing that did bug me, and it also had to do with Elsa, that dress she was wearing, and I don't know if this was, like, on purpose or if this was a problem with the animation, but there was the dress she was wearing, like, most of the movie, like, it literally looked like, and maybe she did this, but it looked like she had just painted herself a dress. Like, the way the depth of it and everything, it almost looked like she had just created, like, an ice dress for herself, and maybe she did.
Yeah.
But everybody else had, like, clothes on, like, full on, like, you could see the width and the depth, and hers just looked like... It just looked like a sheen. Like, it was just, like, straight, like, I don't know how to explain it because I'm not a fashion person.
Yeah.
But it almost looked like, somebody at a game that had, like, painted a jersey on them
right.
or something.
That's
it was
why
weird.
I didn't like her dress. That's the reason why I just, like, didn't like it because it looked, like, weird.
Yeah. I mean, the animation, I guess the animation's a little different than it was in the first one. It didn't really bother me, but, yeah, that was something she mentioned immediately was... that she didn't really like how it looked. She had a hard time watching it.
Like how they drew. Like in Frozen 1, they drew it and it looked like normal people. Now, like, I don't know why, but I realized that, like, Anna's, her like, eyeballs were, like, 2 times bigger than Frozen 1.
Wow, interesting.
I don't know how I realized that, but they're, like, so much bigger than the first one. And it just looked weird.
You would know, because you've seen the first one plenty of times, along with that sing-along thing we were talking about. So, what else did you like about it?
I liked when Elsa rode that, like, horse and when it, like, went across the water.
The, oh, yeah. The ice horse or whatever
it
was.
Yeah, like, the ice horse, or, like, that came from the water.
Which I didn't understand what that was, but yes, go ahead.
Yeah, and Elsa made like icebergs, icebergs. So the horse could walk across the.
Did
ocean.
You know? Did you understand what was going on there? Do you know where that horse came from or why it was there?
I don't know where.
I don't either.
Wait, I know where it came from, but I don't know why it was there.
Where did it come from?
Came from the water.
Oh, okay.
it was like, at first the, like, water was fine, and then soon enough when Elsa got, like, further into the ocean, this, like, horse just, like, started to, like, drown her down in the water, and I don't know why.
Did you understand what was going on there?
No, I didn't understand anything. Most of the things that happened in this movie, I just said, "Oh, that's magic," and
yeah.
you just shrug it off. But I don't know if there's any reasoning behind.
But like,
it.
And I felt like I was like you though. I couldn't like when they did that. I'm like, I wonder if I just missed something. Like, were they talking about a horse? And this is why she was going, or did they talk about like there was some kind of thing she had to tame?
Let me ask you this: I haven't seen the first Frozen since. It came out. Well, I guess since the Sins video, I don't remember what all of Elsa's powers are. Is it just being able to turn things into ice, or is there other things that she's supposed to be able to do from the first one?
I think I know at least like three. So she can use her hands to make like stuff turn into ice and like make icebergs, icicles, and stuff. She can make it winter, because at the beginning of the beginning of the movie, it was like summer, and then after she got mad and like made like that big icing with her hands, she made it turn into winter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's two of her powers, and then the other, and then there's like two more that I know. Oh,
she make herself have bad hair.
No.
Yes.
She can make herself have wonderful hair.
All right. What was the other thing, though?
The other thing, at the beginning of the movie, she can make like snow hills where on her she was like jumping on them.
Mm-hmm.
So she could make like kind of like hills, but like made of like snow. She could also make and then the fourth thing that she can make, she can make a snowman with. Well, she technically used the snow hills that she made to make a snowman. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good. So she could do anything with ice or snow or water. Yeah.
So, yeah, in this movie, she can slow down time, like with the sort of the, mm-hmm. It's these things that they're learning the story about the island and everything. Yeah. That's one thing I didn't understand. Like, I guess the ice horse came out of the water, but, you know, why? Why is the ice horse?
Yeah, like, like I said, we might have missed something. I mean, there might have been some dialogue I just overlooked or just didn't hear correctly, but I don't remember anything. And then and that's actually a really cool scene, mm-hmm. like, from an animated standpoint, especially. I mean, I enjoyed that scene. You see a lot of it in the trailer, but once she gets in the water and the horse starts attacking her, it kind of becomes her trying to tame it and get it to where it lets her ride it.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed like a really important thing, but like, I'm like, I don't know what this is about.
Yeah, I just didn't understand all the stuff. And like, it could be like the island in Lost, right?
Yeah,
there's just Lost, infamously, a lot of the things could be explained away by the fact that the island was magic. That was the thing. And it could be just that this island is keeping historical uh-huh. moments sort of like in time, and she's able to, like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing I didn't really completely get was at the end, the whole thing is Anna realizes they have to break the dam to like restore peace. And we didn't really talk about this. There's this whole thing at the beginning where basically they all get driven away from Arendelle because like all the power goes out and like it's like I don't know. I can't remember if they actually get magically kind of forced away, but I know the power goes out.
I think at the beginning I said flooding. That doesn't happen until later. Yeah, but there is something that comes through, a storm of some sort that evacuates the entire town.
So they're gone, and then Anna realizes that, oh hey, well then that's why they were getting us out of the town, because what we have to do is we have to break this dam, and that's going to flood Arendelle. But then, of course, Elsa shows up, and this was a new power because she does like the ice block, so she blocks the water from going into the town,
mm-hmm.
which fine. But then she somehow evaporates everything. Like, she does like another like thing with her hands, and like the water just disappears.
It just feels like she has new powers that we were not explaining.
Yeah.
And maybe are there other little like Frozen mini short movies, cartoons?
I mean, the only thing, I don't know, you might have seen more than me. There is the one that was before, was that Coco, where it was the wedding or whatever, or it was Olaf's adventure or something like that?
Yeah.
And I don't know that there's another one.
There is a cartoon on Netflix that I just found I was trying to search up Frozen to just like watch it on my TV, and I found this little like cartoon version of it.
Okay.
I watched it. I kind of like it. But
it's on Disney Plus or Netflix?
Netflix, I think.
Netflix?
It was like at a sleepover. We wanted to watch the movie Frozen, the first one. We wanted to watch, and so we wanted to watch it, and then you found this cartoon version of it and we just started watching it.
Okay.
I liked it, but I don't think she liked it as much as I did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You were probably right.
People are people.
So I agree with you on the powers. I didn't really completely get that. And I don't remember anything from the first one other than the basic ice stuff. She created that ice monster to protect the castle. She made the castle. And then, of course, at the end, you know, she does some stuff to help save everybody. But mm-hmm. it's basically just her creating ice.
Yeah.
And in this one, like you said, it did seem like there was a little more going on. What else did, was there other things you didn't like about it?
Well, there is like two things that I didn't understand about it.
Okay. Join the club.
So the first thing that I didn't understand was like how, like kind of understand this, but, with, Elsa, it's kind of going with the powers of what she had. She like used her hands. Like she didn't like touch the boat when she pushed it away.
Mm-hmm.
She, like, the boat, she kind of just, like, used her hands, but, like, didn't, like, touch it to, like, push it away.
Okay.
Then I also didn't understand, of like, how they were in an ocean. And then, like, 2 seconds later, they were in, like, a cave. And then, like, somehow they got out of the cave. And then once they got out of the cave, they started, like, looking for Elsa.
Yeah. So you're kind of agreeing with us on that then.
Yeah.
You didn't completely understand what all was going on.
I don't understand how they got into the cave, like from an ocean. Why would there be like a cave?
Well, they weren't. I don't think they were to the ocean yet. They were still like on whatever. How she got to the ocean? That's a good question. No clue. But as far as the water, I think that was just like a river. I think. At
yeah,
that point.
Or it was just the outside part of the island.
Yeah.
I don't know where she got like the tree branch to like. Like she was just in
that
the
whole
boat.
Scene was confusing. I agree.
Like, yeah, she like was on the boat and then like somehow she got this ginormous stick. And, like she didn't even like raise her hand and like grab it. She just like it felt like a stick was like the stick was like ready for, or like Anna had like told the stick like, hey, I need you to come at like 6:30 so I can
that,
roll my
that room. Makes about as much sense as anything yeah. we saw. So sure. What did you think of Kristoff in this one? We haven't talked about Kristoff. Yeah, right? He was just kind of there. There's this thing that movies do sometimes. If I'm
like,
sure
he's a character, but like
yeah,
he
is a character.
He only came for like 2 seconds of the video.
Yeah,
the movie.
Yeah. So yeah, it kind of felt like they just said, "Oh, we have to have Kristoff in here, so let's just come
he
up with this story
talk.
About." He did talk, and he was going to propose to Anna. That was the whole thing. The whole movie, he kept trying to propose to her, and he kept screwing it up. Or messing it up.
No, like, one time Anna was facing this way, trying to, like, get up something. He was just, like, standing behind her, like, I need to do something.
Oh, wait, what happened again?
He was, like, Anna was, like, facing the, like, they were, like, facing the same direction. And Anna was, like, picking things up. She was, like, picking things up. And then, Kristoff was behind her with, like, a ring in his hand.
Oh, so you did like all, you thought that was funny?
Yeah,
you
I thought that was kind was of funny fun. Because like, okay. Because like Anna never even noticed. He was just like standing there. People were even like staring at him.
Yeah, I guess we should also talk about the parents. I thought this was really weird that, I mean, because watching the first Frozen, I mean, they did the typical Disney thing where the parents don't live. You know, they mm-hmm. that's the big tragic yeah. moment for the kids. So, but I don't remember being like, I wish I knew more about the parents.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope in the sequel that we have an entire plot line devoted.
I feel like they could have done a lot of groundwork on this story that made us understand what was going on, what was at stake, all of that. I think they sort of just said, you know, you liked Frozen, well, here, we're going to throw you into another story, and you're going to like it because these characters are back. But they could have done a lot more legwork on that, on the parents. Yes, the parents could have like things that they said while they were still alive to their children that they're remembering now. Just more about this island and more about a lot of. I mean, it just feels like it's just kind of like here's this, accept it. Here's this, accept it. Here's this, accept it.
Yeah, and I was very much okay at the beginning. Like, I liked that opening scene where we got to see the parents talking to them and telling them the story. I thought that was cool.
Yeah,
I mean, because it's like that's nice, and seeing them as kids and stuff. But I don't know. It's because what they end up doing is we find out that the parents didn't really go to where they said they were going, and they actually died in a different place.
Mm-hmm.
And that factored into this story. So it's one of those things, a lot of sequels do this crap too. When you watch the first one,
mm-hmm.
you're just going to be like, well, that's a lie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you know that's not really, I mean, they decided that's not what happened. And I don't know, like, I just feel like there was another avenue to get to this point without them finding their parents' ship and, you know, all that. Like, I didn't find any of that necessary. Did you think that was cool when they found their parents' ship? Did you like that?
Yeah.
Then maybe we're just too old.
I think, like, the first movie, the parents didn't even say anything. They literally just said, like, bye to their parents.
Yeah, well, you see them at the beginning. They're there. They go to the trolls and all that stuff in the first one.
Yeah, I feel like in Frozen 2, they're alive, like, longer than...
Oh, they show... Yeah, they go more into their back. They go more into their story, yes.
Yeah.
And you like that?
Yeah, I think in Frozen 1, they, like, barely even, like, said anything. Mm-hmm.
So you liked them bringing the parents back into the story?
Not really, because, like, if it's, like, I don't think they should have put the parents in, because, like, in Frozen 1, they died, so, like, they would never come back.
So in the new movie, they're not alive. They're just showing them in the past, and then they find out that the parents, they find out some things they thought about, they find out that they didn't travel to the place they said they were in the first one. That's what ended up happening. So I guess I'm trying to ask, is that something you enjoyed? Like, did you think that was cool like that? Like, did you think that was neat that they kind of brought that mystery into it?
Kind of.
Okay, that's good. Well, maybe kids will enjoy that. Because honestly, you're the audience. We're not really. I mean, not that we can't like animated movies. We like a lot of animated movies as adults, obviously. But, I mean, the important thing, I guess, in a lot of these is this one for kids. What I found interesting, though, watching it, and I mean, there were a lot of kids in there laughing and stuff, so I guess kids were really enjoying it. But I actually was kind of surprised because this almost felt like it was more for adults at times.
Yeah.
And there's definitely a lot of messages in there, which I guess this could be for kids, because there's definitely, you already talked about the indigenous people,
mm-hmm.
Getting taken away, getting their land taken away, essentially, or getting it, destroyed. And then they also have, obviously, the environmental message.
Mm-hmm.
That's really big here. Like, this is very inconvenient.
Yeah.
Right. Truth or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I have no issue with that. And I don't know that they were like, they're not like beating you over the head, but it's definitely there. So is there anything else that you want to talk about with the movie? Okay, go for it.
There's also, one more thing that I didn't understand. Like,
okay.
At the beginning of the movie, when like when people get like dragged out of Arendelle because, the like ground starts like going like that, like wavy, like,
yeah,
and like kind of like,
yeah, people can't see you, so yeah, there you go. Yeah, wavy and rising up,
like, yeah, and it started like rising up, and then but I don't understand like how that happened, like what, like from the beginning of the movie, like what happened that like led to that happening?
Well, no, I think I understand your confusion. I think what we're figuring out, though, I think it was just, there's just, I think it's just like Chris said, that it's just, it's magic. Like, that's kind of what this movie wants you to just whatever they need to move a story point along, just something magical happens.
Yeah, it's
like,
this...
was it Gale? Is Gale what they call the, like, it's like the leaves and stuff that are spinning around? I think Olaf names that.
Oh, yeah, I think
Gale.
That's right, yeah.
And so, like, Gale just seems to kind of come in every now and then and like change up stuff.
Wait, mm-hmm. So all the leaves are like coming in And he like I think I should name the leaves. So he like grabbed one and he was like, I'm gonna call you Gale.
Yeah.
Then he kept grabbing them and he started naming them.
And then I guess we should also mention there's a few new characters.
Was it a tree frog? What is it that is in there that's like
I get was that just a frog? A tree frog?
Yeah. Some of the characters like kind of left the movie. Like that big snow monster that like left the
movie. I think you saw him in that. There was that one part maybe when Olaf was doing his story. I know there's some part there's that part where, which is actually kind of cool visually, where Elsa is seeing like everything from the past and there's all those ice sculptures. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure you see the monster then, but no, he's definitely not part of the movie. I don't really remember how much of the first movie he was a part of. I know he's in the Frozen ride at Epcot, but was he a big part of the first movie?
No, he just pushed them into like this big snow thing. He sort of.
Yeah. Yeah, when they were trying to get in the castle, right?
Yeah, and then they got covered in snow. Like, Elsa didn't, but Kristoff, Olaf.
And Anna.
Yeah, Anna and, Sven, that's his name.
But, so Sterling K. Brown voices, I guess, an Arendelle soldier.
Yes.
He's one of the ones that stuck in the woods. I thought he was very effective.
Yeah.
You could very much tell it's Sterling K. Brown, you know. I did not know the other ones, though. Evan Rachel Wood, I guess, was the older. She was a Iduna.
Okay.
And then Martha Plimpton also did a voice. She was Yelena.
Okay.
So obviously those were a couple of the indigenous women in the forest, I assume.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
And then and Alfred Molina is in it too. So there's a lot of and Jeremy Sisto was King Runard. Interesting. So yeah, so there's a lot of new people. And then like you said, I guess the villain is the grandfather, I guess there's giants.
Yeah, the giants are just that's you know, they just do giant things. They're not really the villains. It's just like you don't want to disturb a swarm of bees, that type of thing. The grandfather is definitely the villain. He's the one who's got the plot essentially to drive these people out.
Hey, Mackenzie, did that was that something you liked or disliked, that they didn't really have like a bad guy, like a villain?
Well, in the last movie they had like that villain, that person that
his name escapes me right now, but
I don't remember his name,
dude.
But he like wanted to be like friends or something with Anna.
Yeah, the one that was trying to pretend like he liked Anna and he was really just trying to take over the kingdom.
Yeah, like.
Yeah, and you didn't really have that in this one. So, I mean, did that bother you at all or did you care?
When Elsa came in and he like saw all these ice people.
Yeah.
They were like, when she saw these people that were made of like snow or something.
Yeah.
When she saw that person next to Anna. She took her hand and kind of knocked him down.
In this movie?
Yeah.
You're talking about this one? Okay.
In Frozen 2, when like all the people were made of stone, she was walking, and she saw that guy and she took her hand and just slapped him.
But you didn't really have like a main bad guy.
No.
And that didn't bother you?
There was like a few bad guys, but like there wasn't a main one.
Because the last time, what that reminded me of was Brave.
Yeah.
Because there's not, I mean, there is like the witch and then there's the bear, but I mean, there's nothing, there's not like a central.
Yeah, it's more about the mother and daughter. And so what, the villain in the first one was Hans?
Hans, yes.
Was it Hans? I was looking up it looks like there's at least two other Frozen shorts.
Okay.
One is called Frozen Fever, which is like an 8-minute long thing that came out in 2015. And then there's the Olaf's Frozen Adventure.
Okay. I don't know. She might have seen Frozen Fever. I'm sure that was, well, maybe it was probably, it must have been before like a Pixar movie or something. That's usually what those are.
I have seen it before.
Frozen Fever is about Anna's birthday and Elsa and Kristoff want to give her the best celebration ever.
I have seen that.
I've seen that.
Yeah, I remember
I've
that.
Also seen
And they did something on TV one year, but that might have just been the Olaf thing. They might have just shown it on TV as well.
I've seen Olaf's like adventure, like whatever it's called.
Yeah. And you didn't really like that, right?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that was really, that was before Coco, I believe. And I remember me and Mackenzie and her mother, my wife, Meredith, we were all just like, is this going to end? Because
mm-hmm.
it just felt like interminable. And it was, the, you know, we hadn't even gotten to the, like, we were just wanting to watch Coco.
Well, yeah, it's a 22 minutes.
Yeah,
it's,
which is
that's
really
long. Yeah. That's long before you're about to watch another movie.
And they showed previews. Like, yeah. So, I mean, like, it was 45 minutes before, you know, they even started Coco. I'm pretty sure that was Thanksgiving, too. It was probably like the night.
I think that's right.
I didn't like Coco.
You weren't a huge Coco fan. That was definitely, that felt more of an adult thing. Because me and mommy liked it, but you didn't really care that much for it. Because since then, we've been like, you want to watch Coco? She's like, no, not really.
The whole entire movie, like, I just wanted the movie to stop.
Mm.
So if there is, if there's
a, I didn't like it.
Oh, so you did not like it then. I think that's a good indication. This is Coco, though. So if there was a Coco 2, you would not be excited, like,
no,
Frozen 2. You would not be doing a Coco 2 mini pod with us.
No, you could watch it, and mommy
okay.
could watch it, but I wouldn't watch it.
Okay, so I don't know if there's much more to say about this movie. I you know, I'm sure that there are some Frozen fans out there who've watched this and they're like, oh, I know everything that happened. And, you know, I can tell you exactly. Fine. Go to Sincast presented by CinemaSins on Facebook and tell me what happened in this movie, because I don't know what happened.
I know. Yeah, please do. And I'm going to let my daughter read all these. So be nice.
It's a testament to the movie's other qualities that I give this a B-, though, because
yeah, I mean, like we've said, I mean, the characters are perfectly, like, they feel like the same people. I think Olaf is funnier. There's some genuinely funny moments in this movie. Mm-hmm. I think, and like we said, I think a lot of them have to do with Olaf. There's probably some stuff with Kristoff. Kristoff just felt very shoehorned. Like, mm-hmm. it was almost like, well, we can't not have Kristoff.
Yeah, and they'd been, like, they've now been dating for 6 years or
something
like that.
Yeah, something like
which,
that.
Which, you know, I consider back in those days to be like, what's wrong with you guys? You know, like, because
yeah.
at this point they should totally be married and have kids by now.
And I mean, and like I said, I get that this is supposed to be for family. So this is kids and adults. And I get that, you know, Disney and Pixar especially aren't afraid to put some more adult stuff in there. But I still wonder, like, the subplot with Kristoff trying to propose to Anna. I just don't know who that's for. Like,
mm-hmm.
kids aren't really going to get that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that it's very funny.
Yeah, I will say that I think Anna and, you know, Kristen Bell in general,
she's
funny in this.
Yeah.
They do give her character some flourishes here and there. I do like there's a point where they say something about how Elsa was given powers while the other sister was given nothing or something like that.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, you know, like,
yeah. And she feels very Kristen Bell. Like, you
mm-hmm.
can see the performance in there. And this is nothing against Idina Menzel. She does a great job as Elsa, but there is something do you prefer Anna over Elsa, or do you prefer Elsa, Mackenzie? I think you go back and forth.
Anna.
Yeah. Well, you've been Anna before for Halloween, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were Anna that year. So, yeah, I think Anna's the better character. But I guess she's also the one we're supposed to be relating to. She's like our entryway into, I mean, as much as a rich princess can be. But she's still like the everyday person witnessing all of this magic and mysticism and,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatnot. And Kristen Bell, yeah, Kristen Bell is just, I mean, she's the best.
Yeah, she is.
I mean, everything she does.
She is, just everything. She's so likable and everything. Okay. Well, we generally liked it. We didn't know what was going on. I think that's the sum.
I think that's exactly it. It sounds like, and it's good to know that Mackenzie was in the same boat, because, you know, that's from a kid's perspective. It's,
yeah.
I think that is a problem.
And maybe, you know, after you watch it 10 more times, you get it. Oh, okay. I get it. Yeah, they said something about this and whatever.
And I do think the music is definitely not as memorable. It doesn't stand out as much as the first one. It is the same. What are their names?
Well, the writers are Jennifer Lee. Jennifer Lee is the screenplay.
Oh, yeah. The musician, the people who wrote the songs, Kristen
song.
Anderson Lopez and Robert Lopez. So these are the same people that wrote the music from the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that the songs have that feel, but like you said, they don't feel as organic to the story.
Yeah,
it
seems like the story moves about 3 minutes, and then they're like, "Oh, time for another song."
Yeah, like, "Oh, we haven't had a song in 5 minutes." Whereas in the first one, it just felt a little more natural to what was going on. And that's a hard thing to do. That's a hard thing with musicals and even animated ones. Mm-hmm. It's very rare that the songs work as well as they do in the first Frozen. So that almost seems like an unfair comparison.
Yeah.
But Mackenzie, you like the songs overall, right?
Yes.
Okay. And I mean, they were fine. I don't know that they're not going to knock your socks off, but I think you're going to enjoy them. Like they're well-written songs.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Well, I would like to thank Mackenzie for coming in and giving her perspective of this and everything.
You did awesome.
Yes, she did. She did very awesome. I want to, go on Sincast presented by CinemaSins on Facebook. Tell us what you thought about this movie. You can also go to SoundCloud, Reddit, there's CinemaSins Twitter, Music Video Sins Twitter. We're also on Discord if you want to get on Discord. Mm-hmm. I have, you can go to Facebook and get a link from me, or you can go to Reddit and there's a link on the right side of the page. Yeah. Jonathan, you have a...
You can reach me on Twitter at SamLoomis13. We also have a TV Sense Twitter, and you can hear me every week with Aaron Dicer and Danae Hughes on Behind the Sins. You can reach Mackenzie nowhere because you're adults.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of, but we're around. You know, if you have a question for Mackenzie, I'll be more than happy to pass that along. So let me know.
Okay.
She's probably going to be the standout in this episode. Let's
for
be
sure.
honest.
For sure. All right. Well, that'll do it for this mini pod of Frozen 2. It's Chris Atkins and Jonathan Watkins and Mackenzie Watkins. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit, and be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.